Growth is God's will for your life. I'll say that again. Growth is God's will for your life. You understand that babies and children are cute, but an adult who is still like a baby, not so cute. Just picture that for a moment. Babies and children are cute, but an adult who is still a child is not so cute. It's not the normal way things progress. You know, over my lifetime, I've met many people, many who aren't Christians, who, regardless of them sometimes being into their 60s and 70s, they still seem to act and party and behave like their children and teenagers. Immature and stunted and challenging in their own understanding of things. Not that I'm an expert, but I've met them. And I've been drawn to them and wanting to come and so that Jesus may be known to them. But at the same time, I've met people over my, I'll say 20 some years of being a follower of Jesus who've also struggled to grow. Does that make sense? Maybe you know people who are still in their 40s, 50s, 60s and beyond who struggle to grow and mature. Ephesians 4:15, it says, "Instead, we will speak the truth in love, growing in every way more and more like Christ, who is the head of his body, the church." We're meant to grow. We're meant to grow up. We're not meant to remain as children. And Scripture is full of the concepts of growth and maturity, understanding that it's God who increases. It's God who grows. But there's also a part that we play. Growth is important. Just like I said, babies and children are cute, but an adult who's still a child is not cute. God is behind growth. He encourages it. Now, today's message may be familiar. It may be something that you understand, and it's good. But I think it's good to remind ourselves before we get into this series on prayer and looking at prayer, just this idea, these spiritual laws that are in play. The fact that God is the one who is a God of order, that he isn't a God of chaos, that he created the universe with natural laws, that things kind of follow in order and in place. And in the same way, there are spiritual laws. And I think it would do us good to remind ourselves of them and partner with the Lord. Father, again, I thank you for this morning. I thank you that you are here. Lord, I pray that you would speak to our hearts. Lord, that each of us would individually hear what you have for us today. Lord, that we wouldn't compare ourselves, just name. Amen. Are you with me so far? Right off the bat, we grow when we feed on God's word. If you have your outline, it's in there. We grow when we feed on God's word regularly and consistently. So again, this isn't a blanket sermon that covers all facets. Because you will know that spending time in God's presence helps us grow. Spending time in community helps us grow. But we grow when we feed on God's word regularly and consistently. What would happen if on Sundays we just kind of stuffed ourselves on a buffet and then ate nothing the rest of the week? What would happen if we did that? No, it wouldn't be good. Maybe some of you would like to eat a buffet every Sunday, but you also would like to eat every other day of the week too. I love food. But I'm not just talking about food. On a Sunday morning, if a Sunday morning happens to be the only time that we hear truth or hear the Word of God or listen to it read or read it ourselves, and the rest of the week we don't, it's not enough. It's dangerous. Just like if we stuffed ourselves on Sunday at a buffet after church and then waited until next week until we ate our next meal. I mean, you can try and picture that. So we grow when we feed on God's word regularly and consistently. Because the thing is, in our culture, especially here, I mean, there's sometimes when you could miss Sundays for a month because of work. There's other times sports related. There's things that go on just in the busyness of life. And if you only crack your Bible on the Sunday that you are in church, it doesn't make you not a Christian. It doesn't make you not a child of God. What it does is it stunts you. You can struggle because we don't just need bread for life. We need the Word of God. Are you with me? Because sometimes, not at any fault of our own, if you have a work schedule that removes you from church for four Sundays, that's your job. It's just what happens. It's hard, but it doesn't remove you from being able to spend time in the Word of God and in His presence, because that's not just happening here. And so it's just a reminder and a challenge that we need to feed on the Word of God. And how do we do that? Well, we hear it. We can listen to it in sermons. We can listen to it online. Not just messages, not just sermons, but we can actually go into like a Bible app on our phones even, an audio file. We can hear it read to us. I struggle to read, being honest, open. I struggle to read. In high school, I passed my biology grade 11 and 12 by having my textbooks read to me on audio tape. I said tape, yes. It was the only way I passed, because I struggled to read. I'm supposed to use filters to read with, and they annoy me, so I don't use them. But I struggled to read. But that doesn't leave me with excuse. Sometimes the only thing that I can read well is the Bible, because the Lord's grace is on it. But you can listen to it. You can hear it. You can read it. There are more translations available now than ever before. Again, at the push of a button. Online, BibleCC.com is a study Bible. There's Bible Gateway. There's numerous sites that you can go online and read and have it read to you. If you need a different translation, come to my office. I think I have 15 of them. There are different things and readily available ways to read it. We can study it. So again, I'm talking about, how do we feed on the Word of God? Well, we can hear it, we can read it, we can study it. So again, BibleCC.com. It's an online like concordance and study Bible. You can buy something called PC Study Bible or Logos. But there are tools available that allow you to look at original language where you don't have to be a Greek and Hebrew scholar. There are tools that allow you to look at context and history and culture, but actually allow you to draw principles out as you read and you pray and you say, Holy Spirit, teach me. So we can study it. We can study it by spending time meditating on the Word. It means to chew on it, to think about it. So an example, Proverbs 3:5, trust in the Lord with all your heart. To meditate on that for me would be trust. What does trust mean? Lord, do I trust you? I trusted you yesterday. Do I trust you today? Show me where I haven't trusted you. Lord, help me to trust you more. I need to understand. You see, I was only focused on one word, trust. What does it look like to trust with my heart? How do I step out in faith? You know, it takes time. We have to slow down. And sometimes, if you do like to read, you can just fire through it at high speed, just reading the Bible and reading books, and comprehension and time to slow down kind of eludes you or evades you. So it's important to meditate. It's important to memorize it. Again, this is a struggle for some. I remember once I had a photographic memory. Photograph is faded and gone. My memory is not what it was when I was in Bible college or in high school, where I could look at my notes. They would be size 8 font. They would be triple columned, and I'd have them memorized word for word, including which color was on which thing, and I would go into my room, and I would recite them aloud over and over and over. But you couldn't talk to me for a week. If you talked to me and you added one more thought to my head, it just all crashed. So don't recommend that. But some of you have photographic memories. You can look at stuff and memorize it quickly. And others, it takes being intentional, takes slowing down. But in all of it, we feed on the Word of God by applying it, by doing what it says. Amen. By not just hearing it, not just knowing what to do, but stepping out to do it. Application is key. Application is what we spend the rest of our lives learning how to do and trusting the Lord to apply what His Word says. See, the thing is, we can forget up to 95% of what we hear. So by Wednesday, you'll probably have forgotten 95% of what I said to you this morning, unless you're writing stuff down. Thanks, Gary. But just think about that for a moment. In the culture that we live in, if you're a college student or even at work, I mean, you hear things all the time. We're always hearing things. We're always being given instruction. But if we don't take time to just slow down for a moment or read the scriptures and listen and meditate on it and try and go, Lord, help me to apply this, that we can forget. So I encourage you. I can't force you. I encourage you to, over this next 40 days or 50 days, to spend 5, 10, 15 minutes in the Word, praying and asking the Lord to illuminate it as you read it, that His Spirit would quicken you, that as you read, it would come alive, and that there would be the ability to apply what you're reading. I encourage you to do it. If you have a phone, there is something called a Bible app. It's also, you can reach it on your computer. And there are many other tools that I'm sure you could talk to people. But understanding that you can go and set up a reading plan, it'll make you healthier. As we go into the 21 days of prayer, there's a little booklet that I plan to give everybody. It has scripture in it. It allows you to go and look and read and actually take time to slow down and think about what is being read. Time of reflection, time to gather if you're able to come in those 21 days of corporate prayer, that you're able to come and be here. And if you are unable because of work and other things, you still have the booklet, so we're all on the same page. Take time. And the thing is, we're also individually unique. We have our own unique DNA, eye print, handprint, thumbprint, fingerprint, the list goes on. We are unique individuals. There's no one like you or like me. And so at the same time, we also learn differently. So you may learn differently than the person sitting beside you. So we all learn differently. And often on a Sunday morning, we aren't going to be able to engage every aspect of learning. I know some larger churches with multi-staff, they can do that. Sometimes it's harder to engage every aspect of learning. So there are auditory learners. We learn by listening. We hear it, it engages our mind. But if we don't write it down, we still forget just like everyone else. But there are auditory learners. There are some who like to read and write. They learn differently than auditory learners. There are visual learners. They like to observe what's going on around them. It engages their mind. It helps them learn more efficiently. And there are oral learners, those who talk things through. People who talk through the stuff they're thinking about out loud, and they process it and they learn. And then there are those who don't like to listen, read, or talk. Those are called men. I'm just joking. They're called kinesthetic learners. That was a joke. Kinesthetic learners learn with their hands. They learn by doing. It's the hands-on approach. And so a Sunday morning, again, isn't going to engage everyone's learning style. But being in life with one another, being in small groups with one another or fellowship groups, or times when you're able to actually, outside of this large gathering, gather for conversations, food, coffee, and actually be able to share about things you're going through, having the word discussed. It's in those times outside of this gathering that we learn, that we grow. You mean on the outline where that has those different? So there's visual, read, write. Can I give it to you after? Okay. Remind me to go talk to Linda after. The thing is, and we'll talk about it in a moment, that idea of small group life. It's the idea of gathering outside of this place where you can put things into practice, where you can ask questions and speak about things, where you can maybe watch something, where you can engage more than just listening. So we grow when we feed on the Word of God. Secondly, we grow when we develop spiritual habits. If we build good habits in life, it helps us grow. I've heard it said before, your habits determine where you are, and what you are determines where you go in life. So the idea of your character, the sum total of your habits. I'll say that again. Your character is the sum total of your habits. So if you say, I have integrity. And you have integrity 25% of the time, and the other 75% of the time you don't have integrity. It means you actually don't have integrity. Because integrity means that you're habitually honest. Simply put. So it'd be like if I said to Natalie, I'll be faithful to you 29 days of the month. It's absurd. Because partial faithfulness is still unfaithfulness. Does that make sense? It's the idea of partial obedience is still disobedience. I'm not talking about that in a marriage relationship. Partial obedience is still disobedience. Because we don't get God's blessing for knowing the right thing to do. His blessing comes in obedience. His blessing comes in obedience. And as I said before, just because you may struggle to read or spend time with the Lord, it doesn't negate that you're still a child of God. It doesn't take away your salvation in that sense. But this is just understanding that feeding on His Word makes us healthier, and developing spiritual habits that are good also makes us grow. It takes about 6 weeks to form a new habit. 6 weeks. It's a long time. It can take up to 21 days for you to be comfortable with something, and another 20 days or so for it to be something that is ingrained in you. And that's just kind of right across the board. It's like before we moved here, I went to the gym regularly. For the first time since high school, I'd gone back to the gym, and I was going 5 days a week, consistently, regularly, and I enjoyed it, and it lasted January, February, March, April, and then May, life got very busy, and in June, it got even busier, and then we moved. And as you can see, as I've been here for 4.5 years, I've never made it back to the gym, even though there is one here. Habits, they take time, they take repetition and practice. Just like I've started eating healthy again, that takes time, it takes practice. So I'm talking about habits in general, but there are spiritual habits that we can do that help us grow spiritually. Most of us, we read the Bible and pray for a day, and then we miss a day. Then we read the Bible and pray for 2 days, and then we miss three. And then we read and pray for 3 days or 4 days straight, and then we miss a week or a month. And so what if over the next 50 days, we intentionally decide together that we're going to spend each day in the Word and in prayer. What if we do that? What if we commit together to do that? Again, nobody can force anybody, but we will grow because of it. I know it's basic stuff, but again, I'm talking about doing it together. And if it's something that you do already, bring somebody else with you. And if it's something you used to do on a regular basis, now is the time to re-engage that. It's a season of growth. When we practice good spiritual habits, we grow. So Hebrews 5:15 says, solid food is for mature people. So babies eat baby food. Adults eat steak. Babies can't eat steak unless it's in a blender and mushy. And even then, they're too young to process it. Goes on to say, solid food is for mature people whose minds have been trained by practice to know the difference between good and evil. So there's that idea of practice and repetition. No one goes to the Olympics by saying, I hope one day I'll get there. They actually have a plan in place. They train, they practice, they sacrifice things. They take time and effort. And so 1 Corinthians 9:25, it says, all good athletes train hard and practice to get better. They do it to win a prize that won't last, but we practice to win a prize that will last forever. So it's not about works. I'm not talking about works. I'm talking about practice and repetition and habits. In Acts, they met together every day. In Hebrews, they were exhorted to not stop meeting together. Again, this idea of habits. They were in the habit of meeting together. It means that they had done it every day for more than 40 days. What are you in the habit of doing? Do you have good spiritual habits? Only you can answer that. What are you in the habit of doing? Thirdly, we grow when we help each other grow. Did you hear that? We grow when we help each other grow. Because nobody can grow by themselves. You need me, and I need you, and we need each other. I need you, you need me, and we need each other. God wired us to be relational. We grow together because we're better together than we are alone. So let's think through that for a moment. We are better together. Romans 1:12, New Living Translation, says, when we get together, I want to encourage you in your faith, but I also want to be encouraged by yours. I'll read that again. That's Paul talking. When we get together, I want to encourage you in your faith, but I also want to be encouraged by yours. There's this idea of mutual encouragement. We grow when we help each other grow. It's simple, but not easy. There are 56 commands that can't be obeyed unless you're in some type of relational context outside of a Sunday morning gathering. There may be even 58. The ideas of love one another, care for one another, pray for one another, serve one another. All of those one another's that you read in Scripture, it's really hard to do them when you have more than 10 people in a room. It requires smaller community. Because the only way to grow is in community and relationships. The thing is, God wants us to learn how to love Him and love others. We know that. It's the thing we take our life to learn and understand what His love looks like, what it looks like expressed. But you can't love other people if you live in a cave by yourself. And it can be hard because sometimes even in our family units, we go, well, we love our family, and sometimes that's hard. But what happens if your family gets with other families? That's how you learn. That's how you grow. You help each other grow. We need people in our lives who sometimes don't think like we do. We need people in our lives who challenge us in our self-centeredness. We need people in our lives who speak to us and help us learn how to be more generous. We need people in our lives who stretch our faith. We need people in our lives who help us grow as we help them grow. And again, that's hard to do here on a Sunday morning. So you want to grow. Join a small group. And you might say to me, we don't have any small groups to join. Why don't you start one? I'm not talking about a specific Bible study or a specific, you know, study of this or that topic. I'm talking about a fellowship group. A group that intentionally gathers on a regular basis for a time of meal, conversation, reading the word, questions, prayer, something that's almost informally gathered. There are groups that do that here. There's a group that I think still meets regularly on Wednesdays. They have a very small house. It's a small group. It's closed, meaning it's at capacity. There's another group that meets monthly, but we need more of them. And you might go, well, how many people in the small group? 2, 3. The smaller, the better. Because anything over 10 people, somebody can get neglected. Do you hear what I'm saying? Some of you may be in relationship with other believers in the community, and that is good as well. But sometimes when that happens, somebody falls through the cracks and gets forgotten. So again, we need more of them. Why don't you prayerfully consider starting something, even if it's once a month, where you invite people over. You have time with them. Even people who you normally maybe wouldn't engage with. Does that make sense? That's hard to do. I'm challenging you. We grow when we help each other grow. I got 2 more points. Fourthly, we grow when we expect to grow. We grow when we expect to grow. Here's the thing, if we expect nothing, we get nothing. If we expect nothing, we get nothing. So if we don't expect God to move and intervene and bring transformational change in our hearts, if we don't expect Him to move in our lives and our families and our church, and we just kind of come and go, whatever. Or we approach Him with that kind of like, well, I don't think you're really going to do anything, but I'll come. That would be the opposite of expectation. So we grow when we expect to grow. So what do you want to see in your family, in the community, and in the church over the next 40 days or 50 days or 6 months? If you're visiting here in your own life, in the church you attend, what do you want to see in the next year in your life? Not because you can do anything, but because you have an expectancy that God will move and intervene. That can be hard to do. What breakthroughs or movement do you need to see? Or you desire to see? Because I know we struggle with it, but God doesn't bless our complaining or grumbling or moaning. He blesses our faith, even if it's a little bit, a tiny bit. Because each of us have a different amount of faith. We grow and we expect to grow. What are you expecting to happen? What are you expecting during the 21 days of prayer? What are you expecting to happen as you seek the Lord, as you pursue Him? Not because there's anything special in this book, but it's the fact that we gather together and pursue the Lord. What are you expecting? What are you expecting over the 40 days as prayer is our focus? Saying in your heart, God, I'm expecting you to do this. I'm expecting you to work in my life here. I need you here. I'm lost without you there. Saying, I don't have all the answers. I can't fix the situation. Only you can. And each of us have a different level of faith and desperation and what that looks like, but we can all come with some amount of faith and expectation, because again, what are you expecting? What are you expecting? And the final point. As we grow and we commit to grow. We grow when we commit to grow. Growth is not automatic. It's a choice. Spiritual growth doesn't just automatically happen. It's a choice. So we have to choose to grow. I'm talking about maturity. A year from now, some of us will be in the same place as we are now. And some of us will be different. It's a choice. Growth is a choice. And we have a tendency to want to put the blame on other people. If my spouse only did this, if my children only did this, or if my father or mother only did this, or my employees or my employer only did this, then I would. You could say, then I would grow. The thing is, growth is our own personal responsibility. And I'm not talking about numbers. The Lord grows the church. I'm talking about maturity. And not in the sense of being up here saying I'm better than someone else because I have more knowledge. It's not about knowledge. It's about transformational growth that occurs as we pursue the Lord. So this idea, when we commit, Jeremiah 29:13 in the Message. I just like how it's put there. It says, you'll find me when you get serious about finding me and want it more than anything else. You'll find me when you get serious about finding me and want it more than anything else. Again, all of us have different levels of desperation, I'll say. That's how I can put it. And when I started this morning, I said that it's not about comparing yourself to the next person. It's about letting the Lord speak to your heart and to bring growth to you in your own life, in your own family. So what are you willing to do to grow? What needs to be done in order for growth to happen more efficiently? Or over the next 40 days, are you willing to, on a daily basis, not out of guilt, but going, let's try this. Let's make this a season where we intentionally seek the Lord. Meaning, you know, if you need to start 5 minutes, read the Word. For 5 minutes, not because you want to just rush through it. Read it for 5 minutes. Again, meditate on it. Chew on it. Prayerfully consider it. Are you willing to seek the Lord in humility and repentance outside of a Sunday morning? What are the things that you are desiring to see? Because again, this aspect of commitment has to do with pursuing the Lord, seeking Him. And we grow faster when we do it in community. We grow faster when we're not in it alone. So I encourage you, maybe over the next, I'll say 40 days, but maybe it'll be sooner, the Lord will speak to you about starting a fellowship group. And that might scare you. But let the Lord lead you in that. We grow when we feed on God's word. We grow when we do spiritual habits or develop spiritual habits. Again, we grow when we expect to grow. We grow when we help each other grow and when we commit to grow. We all need a fresh sense of the Lord, a fresh sense of his presence, a renewal and a revival in our own hearts individually. And I really believe that that comes in prayer. Comes in seeking him in prayer. Mondays, there's prayer here. I encourage you to come to prayer. Come and wander and gather and lay on your face if you need to and seek the Lord. And we spend time praying for the things that you see pinned up around the room and other things that come up that the Lord brings. It's open to everyone that you're able to come. And then we gather towards the end and we pray specifically in small groups, 3-4 people, not just for needs, but for anything that the Lord brings up, any things, any of the ministries, anything that the Lord says, this is what you need to focus on right now. I encourage you to do it. I know it's family day tomorrow. We were going to not have prayer, but that's not happening. We're still having prayer. It's tomorrow, 6:30 to 8. And so I encourage you, come. It would do you good.